Welcome to Blog Byte, where we take the best engineering blogs and, turn them into bite-sized audio episodes.
Yeah.
Perfect for your commute or, whenever you have a little bit of time to learn something new. And today we're diving into NVIDIA's blog post, Mastering LLM Techniques, Evaluation.
Ooh, very timely.
It is. And this one's authored by a whole team of their data scientists and engineers.
Okay.
And let me tell you, evaluating these powerful AI systems, it's a lot more complex than you might think.
It really is. You can't just look at a simple accuracy score
Right.
like we do with typical machine learning models.
That's what I thought was so interesting too, right off the bat.
Yeah.
In the blog post, they emphasize how LLMs are just different
Yeah.
from your typical machine learning model.
Yeah.
So why don't we start there? Like, why is evaluating an LLM such a different beast?
Well, think about it. With traditional models, you're usually dealing with a clear-cut right or wrong answer. But LLMs are generating text. They're generating code. They're translating languages, all sorts of creative output with this vast spectrum of possibilities. So figuring out if an LLM is good requires a whole new set of tools and
Okay,
strategies.
so the output is more complex. But why does it really matter? If we have these robust evaluation methods, what are the stakes here?
The stakes are incredibly high. Imagine deploying an LLM for something sensitive, like customer service, and it starts generating biased content or offensive content.
Oh, yeah, that'd be bad.
That's a PR nightmare. Not to mention the potential for spreading misinformation or even causing harm.
It's not just about making sure the AI is smart.
Yeah.
It's making sure it's responsible and aligned with, human values.
Exactly. And on top of that, we need rigorous evaluation to track the progress of these models. I mean, LLMs, they're advancing so quickly.
Yeah, they're moving fast.
Yeah. We need to be able to measure how they're improving and identify areas where they still fall short.
So it sounds like evaluating LLMs is not a one-time thing.
No.
It's this ongoing process.
Yeah.
What makes it so challenging to keep up?
Well, I mean, several factors contribute to that. For one, the data itself is a major hurdle. I mean, think about it. You need data that covers everything from writing poems to coding to answering trivia questions.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot.
It's like finding data sets comprehensive enough to evaluate all of those capabilities is really tough. And then on top of that, these LLMs, they're learning and adapting constantly.
Yeah, it's a moving target.
It's a moving target. Evaluation has to be continuous to keep pace with the model's development and ensure it's performing as intended.
So where do we even begin with something so complex?
Right.
The article mentions a few different strategies for LLM evaluations, starting with academic benchmarks.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through those?
Of course. So the research community has developed a whole suite of standardized tests or benchmarks designed to assess LLMs. One example is MMLU. It stands for Massive Multitask Language Understanding. It tests in an LLM's knowledge base across 57 different subjects,
57.
from STEM fields to the humanities.
They're really putting them through their paces.
They are. And then you have benchmarks like HeliSwag, which focuses on common sense reasoning. It presents the LLM with everyday scenarios and evaluates its ability to understand or reason about them.
Which is probably harder than it sounds
It is harder than it
for an
sounds.
AI to
Yeah,
do.
yeah.
So we're testing not just knowledge, but its ability to apply it in a way that makes sense in
Exactly.
the real world.
Exactly. There are even benchmarks specifically for coding skills, like Human Evil. This one requires LLMs to solve real-world programming problems, demonstrating their practical application in software development.
It's amazing how these benchmarks are evolving alongside the LLMs themselves,
Yeah.
pushing the boundaries of what we can evaluate.
Absolutely. And this constant development of new benchmarks, I think, reflects just the fast-paced nature of LLM research. It's a constant race to keep up with the latest capabilities and find new ways to measure them.
Okay, so academic benchmarks are one piece of the puzzle. What other strategies are out there?
Well, this is where things get really interesting. We're now using AI to judge AI. It's called LLM as a judge.
Wait, so we're using AI to grade other AI's homework.
It is pretty meta,
That's meta.
but it's a very powerful technique, especially when evaluating aspects of language that traditional metrics struggle to capture.
Like what?
Things like creativity, coherence, the overall quality of the writing.
So, for example, you might have an LLM write a poem
Yeah.
and then have another LLM analyze it
exactly
for like its originality and its imagery.
Yeah, it's like having an expert critic provide feedback on the LLM's creative output. And because LLMs are trained on massive amounts of text data, they can potentially pick up on nuances that might be missed by traditional metrics.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
But I imagine there were some unique challenges involved in using LLMs as judges.
Of course, ensuring that the judging LLM itself is unbiased and reliable is crucial.
Right. You don't want to introduce bias into the evaluation process.
Exactly. You don't want an AI judge that's too lenient or too harsh.
Yeah.
So selecting and training the judging LLM carefully is paramount.
Gotcha. Are there any other considerations with this approach?
Well, it can also be computationally expensive.
Okay.
You're essentially running two LLMs for every evaluation.
Oh, right.
Which can be resource intensive.
Yeah. Especially with large data sets, that could be a lot.
Especially with large data sets.
So it might not be feasible for all applications.
Right.
But it sounds like a promising approach for tasks that require subjective human judgment.
Yes.
Like evaluating creative writing or even code quality.
Absolutely. It's a rapidly evolving area of research with a lot of potential for improving how we evaluate LLMs in more nuanced and sophisticated ways.
While AI judges are certainly fascinating, I'm guessing there's still a place for those tried and true quantitative metrics.
Yes, definitely.
The blog post mentions BLEU, RUJI, and Perplexity.
Yeah.
Can you break those down for us?
Definitely. These metrics have been around for a while in the natural language processing world.
Okay.
And remain valuable tools for LLM evaluation. They provide a way to quantify an LLM's performance.
Okay.
Which can be very useful for tracking progress and comparing different models.
So with BLEU and RUJI, are we essentially comparing the LLM's output to some kind of reference or gold standard?
Precisely. BLEU, which stands for Bilingual Evaluation Understudy, is often used in machine translation. It assesses how closely the LLM's translation matches a human-generated translation.
Gotcha.
RUJI, or recall-oriented understudy for gisting evaluation, is similar but geared more towards text summarization.
Okay.
It measures how well the LLM summary captures the key points of a longer document again compared to a reference summary.
Gotcha. And Perplexity, that one always sounds a bit mysterious to me. How does that work?
Perplexity is all about predictability.
Okay.
It measures how well an LLM can predict the next word in a sequence.
Okay.
Essentially, the lower the perplexity score, the better the LLM understands the language patterns and can generate more fluent and grammatically correct text.
So it's like a measure of how surprised the LLM is by each new word.
That's a great way to put it.
The less surprised, the better it's doing.
Exactly. And these quantitative metrics, along with the more qualitative insights we can get from approaches like LLM as a judge, provide a more well-rounded picture of an LLM's capabilities.
It's like we're using all these different lenses to examine the same object.
Yeah.
And getting a more complete understanding of its structure and function.
Exactly. But we're not done yet.
Oh, there's more.
Evaluating LLMs isn't just about assessing the models in isolation. It's also about understanding how they perform in real-world scenarios like information retrieval.
Okay.
And that's where things get even more complex.
I'm intrigued. Tell us more about how LLMs are used for information retrieval and how we evaluate their effectiveness in that domain.
So that's where embedding and re-ranking models come in.
Okay.
These models act like super-powered search engines, helping us find the most relevant information from vast amounts of data.
So if I'm understanding correctly, we're giving the LLM a specific query.
Yes.
And it needs to sift through all this data to find the needle in the haystack.
Exactly.
How do these embedding and re-ranking models actually work?
It's a fascinating process. So first, the user's query is converted into a numerical representation called an embedding.
Okay.
This embedding captures the meaning and context of the query in a way that the LLM can understand. Then the model compares this query embedding to the embeddings of all the documents in the database.
So we're not just matching keywords anymore.
No.
We're actually representing the meaning of the query.
Exactly.
And comparing it to the meaning of the documents.
Exactly. It's a much more sophisticated approach that allows for more accurate and relevant search results. And then the re-ranking model comes in and sorts the retrieved documents based on their relevance to the query.
Okay.
Ensuring that the most pertinent information appears at the top.
But how do we evaluate how well this whole system is working? What metrics are we looking at here?
When it comes to evaluating information retrieval, two key metrics are precision and recall.
Okay.
Precision tells us how many of the retrieved results are actually relevant to the query.
So are we getting a lot of false positives?
Exactly. Are the results truly on target?
Right. Nobody wants to wade through a bunch of irrelevant information.
Exactly. And then there's recall, which measures how many of the truly relevant documents are actually being retrieved.
Right. We don't want to miss anything
We
important.
don't want to miss any crucial information
Yeah.
that's hiding in the depths of the database.
So it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
We want high precision to ensure accurate results,
Yes.
but we also need high recall to make sure we're not missing anything.
That's the goal. Finding that sweet spot where we're retrieving a high percentage of relevant information without being overwhelmed by irrelevant results is key to effective information retrieval.
Yeah.
And these metrics become even more critical when we start talking about RAG systems, which stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation.
Okay. RAG systems, they're like LLMs with access to external knowledge sources, right?
Yes.
Like a massive library or even the entire internet.
That's a great way to put it.
Wow.
Our RAG systems combine the power of LLMs with information retrieval, essentially giving the LLM access to a vast amount of external knowledge that it can use to generate more comprehensive and informative responses.
That's incredibly powerful, but I can only imagine how much more complex it makes the evaluation process.
You're absolutely right. When evaluating our RAG systems, we need to go beyond traditional metrics like BLEU and Urvashi.
Okay.
We need to make sure the LLM is not just generating coherent and grammatically correct text, but that it's also accurately and appropriately using the information it retrieves from external sources.
So what kind of metrics come into play when we're dealing with RAG systems?
Two particularly important metrics are faithfulness and relevancy.
Okay.
Faithfulness measures how closely the LLM's output aligns with the information it retrieved from the external source.
So it's not hallucinating facts.
Exactly. We want to ensure it's not hallucinating facts or going off on tangents that are unsupported by the
Right.
evidence.
We need to make sure that the LLM is grounded in the real world,
Exactly.
not just making things up based on its internal knowledge.
Exactly. And relevancy assesses how well the LLM's response actually addresses the user's original query.
So we don't want it to go off on like a fascinating but irrelevant tangent.
We don't want the LLM to go off on a fascinating but irrelevant
No
tangent.
matter how eloquently it does so.
Exactly.
So in essence, evaluating RA systems is all about making sure they can effectively leverage external knowledge without sacrificing accuracy or relevance.
Yes.
It's like making sure the LLM knows how to use its massive library without getting lost in the stacks.
That's a fantastic analogy. And as you can imagine, all this evaluation from basic LLMs to complex RAG systems can get pretty messy and time-consuming.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's where NVIDIA's NeMo Evaluator enters the picture.
The NeMo Evaluator.
Yes.
The blog post was singing its praises, claiming it's the solution to many of these evaluation headaches.
Yes.
What makes it so special?
NeMo Evaluator is a toolkit specifically designed to streamline and robustly evaluate LLMs and RAG systems. It provides a framework for organizing all these different metrics, benchmarks, and evaluation approaches, making it significantly easier for developers to get a clear and comprehensive picture of how their models are performing.
So it's like a one-stop shop for all your LLM evaluation needs, bringing order to the chaos.
Precisely. And that's why NVIDIA is so excited about it. They see it as a crucial tool for ensuring that LLMs and RAG systems are developed responsibly and deployed effectively.
It sounds like NeMo Evaluator could be a game changer in the world of LLM evaluation.
Yeah.
I'm definitely eager to learn more. But even just from our conversation so far, it's clear that evaluating LLMs is a whole science unto itself.
It absolutely is, and we've only scratched the surface here.
I figured.
The field is evolving rapidly with new benchmarks and evaluation techniques emerging all the time. It's a continuous learning process for everyone involved.
Well, for our listeners who are ready to take a deeper dive into this fascinating world of LLM evaluation, where should they go?
I highly recommend checking out the full blog post on the NVIDIA technical blog.
Yeah.
They delve much deeper into the techniques we discussed, explore the various challenges, and explain how NeMo Evaluator is helping to streamline the entire evaluation process. It's a fantastic resource packed with insights from the experts at NVIDIA.
We'll make sure to include a link to the blog post in our show notes.
Great. And if you're working on LLMs yourself, I encourage you to explore NeMo Evaluator and see how it can help streamline and improve your evaluation process.
Yeah.
It's a powerful tool that can make a real difference in ensuring that your models are performing at their best.
Well said. As we wrap up this deep dive, I think the key takeaway is that evaluation is not just a box to check. It's an ongoing and essential part of the LLM development lifecycle.
Absolutely. And as these models become more sophisticated and integrated into our lives, rigorous and comprehensive evaluation becomes even more crucial for ensuring that they're being used responsibly and ethically.
So as you continue to explore the world of AI and LLMs, remember that evaluation is not just a technical necessity, it's an investment in the future of these transformative technologies.
It's about building trust, transparency, and accountability into every step of the process. And ultimately, it's about harnessing the incredible power of LLMs to create a better future for everyone.
That's a fantastic note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into LLM evaluation. It's been an enlightening conversation.
It's been a pleasure. And thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. We hope you found this episode informative and insightful.
Until next time, keep on learning.